Our desire from day to day is, be with us, O God, in all our endeavors. Purify our intentions. Strengthen our purposes. Grant that as we serve our fellow men, we may serve thee through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Will you join me in reading selection 67, The Christian's Cross? Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. May we pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come into thy presence this morning, we do so with troubled minds. We ask, cannot conditions be established whereby peace can reign once again upon this earth? As we realize that there is still serious conflict in the Far East, in the Near East, as we realize that they're unlike ideologies in so many other parts of the world, we ask, cannot we come to respect each other? Cannot there be a basis established whereby communications can be effected? Can there not be enough concern for each other that we really can strive for peace and in our strivings find it? We realize that here in our own great nation, there are so many unsightly elements. We realize that there are so many things from day to day in our individual communities over our great nation that are not Christian by nature. Grant that we may be so about the proclaiming of the Christian message, the living of it, that in time our beloved country can be much more nearly and even truly Christian in nature. We realize how difficult it is as individuals to live creditable Christian lives. Help us to be constantly a source of help one to the other. Help us to find inspiration from one another as we endeavor to live our lives. But most of all, help our lives to be so dedicated, so committed to our Lord and Savior, that from him we constantly will be deriving a source of inspiration. We thank thee for the Church of the Living God, for the commitment of Southern Baptists to the Church and to their Savior, for the genius that has established our theological seminaries and especially Southeastern Seminary. It is our prayer that as we continue through the remaining days of this year, that we will make the best possible use of these our opportunities, that as we conclude the year, we will have the feeling of task well done. We thank thee for the president of this seminary, for each of the professors, for those that comprise the Tolan Seminary family. Equip us well, it is our prayer, for the living in these times and the fulfillment of our lives. As we progress in this service, help us to truly worship this day and to leave strengthened for our tasks and opportunities of this and other days. These things we ask in thy name, for Christ's sake. Amen. Tomorrow, Dr. Floyd Moore of Guilford College will lead us in our chapel worship service, and we will be privileged to have the choir of the Baptist College of Charleston to sing two anthems. The Baptist College choir will be our guest at luncheon and possibly the speaker, so I hope you will be able to see and to hear these people. While studying at a state hospital a few years ago, something happened at a staff meeting one day that I long will remember. A patient was asked by the chief of staff to identify one of the doctors, and he promptly identified him as the Apostle Paul. When asked to identify the only man of the cloth who was present, the chaplain, he immediately identified him as the devil. When the patient was asked to identify himself, his answer was, "I am nobody." If I should stop a man on the street and ask, "Who are you?" he would answer, "I am John Smith." If I should pursue the matter and ask, "But John Smith, who are you?" he probably would answer, "I am a native and resident of North Carolina. I am 30 years of age. I am married. I have two children. My social security number is such and such." But if I should pursue the matter even further and ask, "But John Smith, who are you?" possibly this time he would continue and offer this information such as this: "I work for IBM. I am a Rotarian. I am a Baptist." I'm quite certain that if I should pursue the matter even further, that I would find that Mr. Average Man on the Street would have a most inadequate understanding of himself and the general concept of self. Perhaps nobody whose address was State Hospital had examined himself and had come to a proper conclusion. One of the most prominent psychoanalysts of this century stresses the importance of self-evaluation and endeavors to spend an hour each morning in self-study and reflection. I am certain that each of us goes through a certain amount of self-evaluation. We realize from time to time that we're not our usual selves. There are certain aspects of our lives of which we are ashamed, that we resent. But to what extent do we really know ourselves? Jesus said, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." But how can we deny self when self has not been defined? How can we deny that we do not know? The question has been asked, when does self come into being? We hold that the self comes into being at birth, when separation from the mother is effected. But we recognize that a long time must pass before the self becomes effective enough to be able to take care even of his personal needs. But not all civilizations have accepted this fact. Many have felt that it was acceptable to abandon babies during the early years because they had not yet become human. And then, do we not need to ask, when does a person become a psychological self? It seems most difficult for the American parent to grant a child psychological independence. Mary Tully tells the story of a mother, a daughter, and a young son who were having lunch in a restaurant. The waitress asked the young boy what he would have. Before he could answer, the sister informed the waitress that she would order for him. The waitress asked the boy a second time what he would order, and the mother informed the waitress that she would order for her son. But the waitress undaunted asked finally, "Young man, what will you have?" The boy said, "A hamburger." The waitress asked, "Rare, medium, well done?" The boy answered, "Well done." "And what would you like on it?" The young boy answered, "The whole works." The waitress answered, "A hamburger, well done, the whole works." And after she had left to fill the order, the boy was heard to say to the mother, "Gee, mother, she thinks I am real." The waitress had communicated respect, sensitivity, and acceptance without even using those words. Earl Loomis, in his book, The Pilgrimage, The Self in Pilgrimage, makes the observation that the beginning of separation comes with the utterance of the first no by the child, because in the strict sense of the word, when the child says no to the father or mother, he is saying yes to himself for the first time. We spend a lifetime pursuing psychological independence. But there are some rather widely accepted realizations of the self. We hold that each of us is a separate and distinct self. Each of us is unique, quantitatively and qualitatively different from each other. Man is God's creature. It is from God that our being flows. Our destiny stands in our knowledge of Him. In His service, our freedom and finiteness are perfected. We recognize that even though we are individual, each of us depends for his existence and identity on that which went before, our ancestors, our parents. In addition to receiving our inheritance from our parents, we learn from them the character of our community, its culture, folkways, traditions, language, history, ideology, and worship. We recognize that we also depend on our contemporaries to help discover and reveal our own identities. We are not just parts. Each of us has a central organizing tendency that pulls together past, present, and future, the inner self and the outer world, and maintains us in dynamic balance. If a part of us is threatened, our whole being is threatened. We get sick with our whole being. We act and think with our whole being. We sin with our whole being. Realization of the self is a continuing process. We always are moving in some direction. Physiologically, we are somewhere along the path from conception to death. Psychologically, we are somewhere, someplace between creation and redemption. As we love, our capacity for love expands. The more of the beautiful experience, the greater our appreciation and yearning for the beauty. The self never is realized fully in this life. Does it not seem that a kingdom of heaven is required? Self-denial in the Christian sense is not the same as self-giving. A man may give endlessly of his time and energy to his business, but perhaps for altogether selfish motives, even though they may be unrecognized. Pastors must be continuously on guard, lest positive records of achievement, widespread personal acceptance and advancement become ends within themselves. Gordon Allport states in the concluding paragraph of his book, The Individual and His Religion, "A man's religion is the audacious bid he makes to bind himself to creation and to the Creator. It is his ultimate attempt to enlarge and complete his own personality by finding the supreme context in which he rightfully belongs." We recognize that the self is shaped by the factors to which it gives itself and the means adopted to achieve these ends. The self that is dedicated to God and that is using God's means will be godly in nature. The self that is dedicated to God will endeavor to rule out the ungodly, will deny desires and ambitions that will deter. He will endeavor to steer a clear course. The self that is dedicated to self constitutes the selfish life. Fortunate is the man whose concern is turned from self and its powers to God and his providence. From self-reliance to reliance upon God's love and grace. From fear to faith. From self-confidence to confidence born of a new pattern of improvement in God's creative and redemptive work. Dr. Albert Outler, in his book Psychotherapy and the Christian Message, has a striking statement that sums up the way I regard self and the way that I see life in a very fine way. Only the self-respect given in self-denial, only the self-control gained from God's guidance of the human will, only the freedom liberated in repentance and trust, only the knowledge which grows in the course of Christian discipleship and cross-bearing, only in the goodness generated by grace, only in these good gifts which God gives freely to his children, can man find himself in its fullness, can find his true order and blessedness. May we pray together. May the love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. May the power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. May the joy of the Lord Jesus fill our souls.